the past few weeks in our morning services, we've been considering the theme of humility. Certainly, I think all of us are aware that there's a great need for us as believers to walk humbly in this present world. It perhaps is, I believe, the greatest need of our day, because humility in many ways is the root of all other spiritual graces. By humility, we are able to possess all of the blessings that God intended for His children. God wants each and every one of us to learn to walk humbly in this present world. There is another essential grace, though, that I believe we need to develop within our own lives, and that is the grace of faith. We are told many times in the Scriptures of the importance of walking by faith. The Bible says the just are to live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God would have each and every one of us also to learn to walk by faith. Yet I don't think sometimes we really consider the fact that both faith and humility are intrinsically linked. If we desire the glory of man, if you and I are lifted up in pride, then you and I will not be able to walk by our faith. For pride will hinder our faith. It makes faith impossible. It is only by humility that the soul is prepared to fully trust in the Lord. Most of us here this morning would be aware of the words in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. As we think about those words this morning for just a minute or two, I want you to consider with me how faith and humility are here linked. We're told in the first part of verse 5 that it is our duty, our responsibility as man to trust in the Lord and to trust in Him with all our heart. That concept of the word trust means to put our full confidence in the Lord. We are to trust Him. We are to live by faith. We are to place our confidence in Him. And we are to give that with all of our heart. By faith, we are to lay hold of His promises and accept the reality that what He says, He will do. We are to trust the Lord. It is our faith. But verse 5 also makes it clear that it is not our duty to understand. Understanding belongs to the Lord. Understanding is His. We are called upon by faith to trust Him. And in humility, we are to relinquish our understanding, knowing that God understands. Understanding belongs to the Lord. If you and I are going to walk by faith, then we must first humble ourselves before the Lord, reckon ourselves as nothing, believing that God is our all in all. The two are linked together, our humility and our faith. God wants us to walk humbly in this present world. We are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time. And we are to walk by faith. But we'll never walk by faith until we first learn to humble ourselves before the Lord. Those two are intrinsically linked. As we have therefore sought to learn how to walk by our humility in this present world, this morning I want to begin to endeavor to learn how we can walk by faith. Because again, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I want you to turn in your Bible this morning to the Gospel of Mark and the 4th chapter. Mark chapter 4. I want to look at verse 35 down through verse 31 this morning. And I want us to see what manner of faith we have. What manner of faith God would have each and every one of us walk by faith in this world. Mark 4, verse 35 says, "And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, he took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Bow with me in a word of prayer, and we're going to ask the Lord's blessing upon our time. And then again, consider what manner of faith we have. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that we can come together and we can look and study together the Word of God. I thank you that this Word is true. I thank you that it's powerful. I thank you that it can change our lives if we'll allow it to. I thank you that it can help us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to learn how to walk by faith. Lord, we realize that we're to walk humbly, and without first learning how to walk in humility, we will never be able to truly walk by faith. And Lord, I pray today you let us see how these two are linked one to another, even from this passage of Scripture. And that, Lord, we would humble ourselves before you and by faith walk with you and trust in you with all of our heart, knowing that you will lead us and direct us according to thy perfect will, for you will work to do your perfect will within our lives. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you can accomplish this morning as we allow the Spirit of God to teach us, to help us today. We'll thank you, Lord, and praise you in his name. Amen. This morning, as we approach this passage of Scripture, I want to begin by understanding the surrounding of the lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ is here going to teach his disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ is desiring through this event to teach the lesson of faith to those who would be willing to follow him. You know, as I look through the Gospels, I marvel at the many ways and the many methods that the Savior taught his disciples. There were times that the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples and those who would follow by simply the ways of sermons. So we come to Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7, and we know what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. He would give to them great truths and doctrine through times of his teaching. But you know, he also took time to teach them through means of parables. He would tell them an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And to many, they would be confused by such of a parable, but those who were walking with the Lord and in right relationship with him had the ability to understand such parables. And through it, there was a wonderful message that he was able to teach. Now, he also would teach them through the miracles that he would perform. He would allow them to see him at work, and they would see him heal the blind or heal the lame. And through that, he was able to teach them about his person, about his power, and about the Father in heaven. He was able to teach them through miracles. But the Lord Jesus also took the time to teach them through the means of object lessons. And that's really what we have in Mark chapter 4. He is teaching them through an experience of their life, through an object lesson. This lesson is revolving around the importance of faith. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ in this setting, taking his disciples on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, understanding full well that as they cross over the Sea of Galilee to the other side, they were going to come into the midst of a storm. He had prepared to take them through a time of crisis to reveal to them through that crisis that there was a need for them to walk by faith. He wanted them to learn the value and the importance of faith, for he was preparing them for the day in which they would go forth and to serve him fully when he was no longer with them. He understood that his time upon the earth was only for a period of time, that one day he would depart and return again unto the Father and leave them behind to serve them. What they would need is faith. Faith to be able to handle any storm of life. Faith to be able to handle any crisis. Faith to be able to serve him. And he shares with them the importance of faith. Verse 35, it says, on the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, well, let us pass over unto the other side. They have spent the day in ministry and labor and toil. And now the Savior says, let's go to the other side of the sea. Let's take a trip. And on this trip, he intended that they would face a storm or a crisis. The Sea of Galilee is known for its violent storms, which can quickly arise and quickly even disappear. But in that journey, the Savior knew that there would be such a storm. His desire was to teach his disciples their need for faith and their need to show them that they needed to humble themselves and learn to trust in him, no matter what would come their way. They would quickly realize just how much of themselves they trusted in and how very little they trusted in the Lord. He would teach them through the avenue of crisis. It's interesting to note as we consider the story that as his disciples faced the storm alone, and folks, they did. They faced much of the storm alone, apart from Jesus Christ. Interestingly, though, he was close by, was he not? He was in the rear of the boat. He was set apart from them. He was there asleep. He was right there, but they still faced the storm alone. They sought to fight the winds and the waves in their own power, in their own strength. And as they faced that storm alone, apart from Christ, they were overwhelmed with fear. And they assumed the worst. The crisis revealed the need of their faith. And the Lord Jesus would point that out to them as he would say in verse 40, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" It's a question to reveal to them their need. You're afraid and you lack faith. How is it possible that ye have no faith? How can you be with me, the very Son of God, and yet have no faith? That's the surroundings of this lesson. And you and I often find ourselves, do we not, in similar surroundings. We find ourselves in the midst of a storm. We find ourselves in the midst of a crisis. And God will take us through those times that he might reveal to us lessons that we need to learn. And often what we need to learn is the value, the importance of walking and living by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you and I will never walk by faith until we first learn to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us in due time. It's as we humble ourselves that we are put in a position to fully trust the Lord. As we came to this passage again this morning, I want you to see, second, the setback of their faith. You know, the disciples had the wonderful privilege of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the privilege of seeing him do miracles, and they saw his power. They were able to sit and listen to him as he would teach the multitudes. They were indoctrinated with his teaching and his truths. Yet still they lacked faith in the midst of the storm. You know, before we're too hard on them, though, I want to remind you and I this morning that you and I have a greater privilege than the disciples had. Do you know that? You and I have a greater privilege than the disciples have. We have greater blessing. We look at times the apostles and we look at the disciples and say, what a blessing. They were able to walk with God upon the earth. Boy, these guys were crazy. How is it that they couldn't have faith? They were with God Himself. Well, folks, don't you and I have the same privilege today? Aren't we able to walk with God today? Is your body not the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? You're not our own. We're to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are His. He lives within us. He walks with us. Do you and I not have the Word of God, which according to Peter is a more sure word of prophecy? We have these wonderful blessings. We have the completed Word of God before us. We have the blessing of being able to walk with Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, living within us. And yet, we would often have to say or have to answer the same question, why are ye so fearful? Why don't you have any faith? If you and I are going to know the victory and blessing of God in this present world, we're going to need to humble ourselves and walk by faith. God desires that His people walk by faith. What was it, though, that caused them to have their faith set back? What hindered them by walking in faith? Well, the passage points out, I believe, three things which hindered them in their walk of faith. I want you to notice with me again what it says, beginning in verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the Bible says that the wind ceased and there was a great calm. What was it that set their faith back? What was it that caused their faith to be hindered? What kept them in the midst of the storm to walk by faith? Well, first of all, the Bible says that they feared what they could not see. The Bible says that in this storm there was a great wind. They feared what they could not see. The winds were howling, the winds were blowing, and the winds were strong. And the winds called them to fear instead of walking and living by their faith. They were afraid of what they could not see. You and I cannot see the wind as it blows. We see the effects of the wind. And at times, a cool breeze can be a blessing. On a hot day, to have the breeze or the winds blow and to see the trees move is a good thing. On a night in the midst of a storm with the winds howling and blowing, not so pleasant. It can also be a fearful thing. And they were seeing the results of the winds, but they could not see what was causing all of the problems. There were things they could not see, and as a result, there was fear that arose within their heart, which caused them to no longer walk by faith. You know what keeps you and I from walking by faith in this present world? Sometimes it's the things that you and I just can't see. There are things that go on all around us. We see the effects of them. We don't understand the reasons behind them. But we know there's things that are taking place that are having an impact upon our life. But I can't see it. I don't understand it. And instead of walking by faith and trusting my God, I become afraid. And I walk by my sight. And when there are things that I cannot see, I become afraid and no longer walk by faith. We see the results, the problems, the difficulties, but we don't see the cause. And in those times, we seek our own understanding. But we forget, as Proverbs 3:5 says, understanding doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. Our responsibility is to trust in Him. The disciples' responsibility was to trust their master. Not to look around at the winds that were blowing, but to keep their eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For He has the power to bring calms to the wind. We fear our faith is hindered when we look at those things that we cannot see and seek our own understanding. Therefore, what you and I need is to humble ourselves, realizing that there is nothing that we can do. Only God is able. Can I remind you of these truths? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Will He not provide for us a way of escape in everything? You and I begin to look around and we begin to see the problems. And we don't understand what's taking place. Can we not in those times simply by faith trust the Lord with all of our heart? Lean not to our own understanding. Sometimes our faith is hindered because of the things that we cannot see, which causes us to fear. But secondly, they feared what they could not control. Verse 37 says that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The waves were a setback. That's interesting, seeing that many of the men upon this ship on that evening would be fishermen, skilled in the sea. This wasn't the first time they had been out on the sea in the midst of a storm. These were men who lived upon the water. They had skills to handle such problems as this. Yet their skills on this night were no match to the power of the waves. The ship began to take on water and they feared for their lives. There were things they could not control. The wave was stronger than their skills. And therefore, instead of walking by faith, they feared and trusted in self. They were trying to control the situation through their efforts, through their abilities, through their wisdom, through their understanding, through their power, through their might. But on that night, they found that there was something they could not control. Ever been there? There are times in your life and times in my life where God must bring us to a point that we have to learn there are just some things I can't control. And for some of us, that is too hard to bear. We like control. We don't want to submit ourselves unto the Lord. We don't want to trust in Him. We want to do it in our wisdom, in our might, in our strength, in our ability. Because we believe that we're the solution to our problems. I'll remind you that your problem and my problem is me and you. You're your own problem. You have to get out of the way. You are nothing. God is everything. He is to be your all in all. There are just some things we cannot control. We can't control the weather, folks. So don't try. We can't control the environment around us. We can't control the economy. Things are good now. They may get worse later. Will that determine whether or not you can walk by faith or not? Going through a financial crisis, is that going to cause you to walk away from God? Is that going to keep you from serving Him? Is that going to keep you from doing what you know is right? Just because it's a little tight in the pocketbook this week? There are some things beyond your control and mine. We can't control our health. Sometimes we go through periods of sickness. Sometimes we're afflicted with things that will never leave us. Paul had to deal with the thorn in the flesh. And three times he said, Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away. I can't effectively serve you. I've got a health problem. Take it away. No, God said, Paul, the problem isn't your health. The problem is you need to learn to trust me. and recognize that my grace is sufficient for you. I marvel at how Paul responds. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmity. You know what Paul recognized? I would rather have that thorn in the flesh and live trusting my God day by day than live in my own power, my own wisdom, in my own might. By the way, it's not by your wisdom, it's not by your power, it's not by your might. We're to live by His Spirit, saith the Lord. But we fear and our faith is hindered because at times there are things out of our control. And when we find ourselves with things out of our control, that is where we must humble ourselves before the Lord and trust Him with all of our heart. Third, they feared that which was uncertain. Look at again at the end of verse 38. They awake Him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care that we're about to die? You know what was making them fearful? Death. You know what death is to most people? The great uncertainty. You know what we face in times of our lives? We face times of uncertainty. We fear what we do not know. It's amazing to me that even when we don't know anything, it doesn't stop us from thinking the worst. Right? Think about that for a moment. Even when we don't know anything, that doesn't stop us from thinking the worst. We go to the doctor and he says, there's something I'm concerned about. I need to do some more tests. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear something like that? Cancer! I'm going to die! I mean, we run home and we got to get the will together. We got to get everything. I mean, we call the family in. We don't even know what it is yet. But we've already thought the worst. Right? Boss comes in and says, changes are coming at work. Uh-oh! We're all getting canned! I'm getting my pink slip! How am I going to be a proper... How are we ever going to eat? I don't know how I'm going to pay the mortgage. I'm probably going to have to sell the car. I mean, there goes vacation. We're not going to be able to do anything about that. Oh my goodness, how can we handle this? Honey, buckle down. We got to cut everything expensive because changes are coming at work. Really? Immediately, we think the worst. We know nothing, but we already know what the worst is going to be. Isn't that amazing? The disciples didn't know anything about this storm, did they? They didn't know when it was going to end. Master, don't you care? We're about to die. Really? That's where your thoughts went? Folks, really, that's where our thoughts go. We immediately go to the worst. You know why we do that? We do that because of our pride. You know why we think the worst? Because when we think the worst, what we're really saying is we're concerned about the one thing that means the most to us. Me. We think about how this is going to impact me. It's uncertain. It's going to affect me. It's going to hurt me. The problem is going to be for me. Me, me, me. It's our pride. When you and I face times of uncertainty, what we need to do again is simply this. Humble ourselves before the Lord and trust in Him. Knowing that He knows the beginning from the end. God doesn't always tell us what He is going to do, how long the storm is going to last, what the results of the storms will be. But He calls us to trust Him. As we humble ourselves before the Lord, we'd be reminded of these thoughts. That He loves us with an everlasting love. Underneath are the everlasting arms of the Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. We are safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. The disciples forgot their faith Their faith was hindered because they were afraid of things they could not see, things they could not control, and things that to them were uncertain. The question then is, what is the solution for our faith? In the midst of this great trial of their faith, the Lord revealed that there was indeed a problem. Pride had rendered their faith powerless. And although they were with the Savior, the Creator of heaven and earth, they forgot in such a time to look to Him. When you and I face those things that we cannot see and things we cannot control and things which to us are uncertain, what's the solution so that you and I, instead of living by fear, would walk by faith? Four things I want to just suggest to you this morning. Number one, in the midst of those times of crises when our faith is challenged, we must remember the Lord. The storm arose and the disciples did everything in their own power to save themselves. They used every means necessary to help keep this boat from sinking. They tried everything, but they forgot their greatest resource, the Lord. They forgot to go to Him first. They came to Him when they thought it was just too late. But before that, they were doing everything in their own power, their own strength, their own effort. Folks, if you and I are going to walk by faith, we need to learn to remember Him first. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our eyes are to be fixed on Him. So often in the midst of our Christian journey, we endeavor to do all that we can in our strength, in our wisdom, in our might, and we forget the Lord. In order to walk by faith, you and I need to remember Him. You and I need to focus our thoughts on Him. The disciples all believed that He was Messiah. They all believed that He was the one who was going to set Israel right and be the promise of their hope. They knew the prophecy that He would be Emmanuel, God with us. But in the midst of the crisis, they forgot Him. They forgot who it was that was with them in their ship. Folks, He is the greatest source of all help. We need to remember Him. We must learn to come and humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to turn to Him. Number two, we need to learn to rely on Him who is in control. We need to rely on Him who is in control. Not only do we need to remember Him, we must learn to rely on Him. He is the one who is able to control all things. The disciples finally come and they finally seek Him. They finally awake Him. And notice what He says. Verse 39. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Look at verse 41 and their response. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? The wind and the sea obey Him. Of course they do. He's in control of all things. And folks, we need to learn to rely on Him who is in control of all things. He controls what we don't see. Bible says that He made all things, visible and invisible. He controls all things that we cannot see. He controls all things that we cannot control. And He knows all things that to us are uncertain. He is an all-powerful, all-knowing God who is ever present with us. We need to learn to rely on Him. There is nothing that He is not in control of. The wind and the sea obey His voice. Can I remind you of this truth? Your God, the God in whom you serve, is able to work all things together for good. Because He controls it all. There's nothing that comes into your life or my life that He doesn't know about. And that He hasn't ordained for you and I. This wasn't a shock to Him when He woke up and He's in the midst of a storm. I wonder how that happened. He knew it. In fact, He knew it was coming and He went to sleep. He had a lesson to teach His disciples, their need of faith.
When the storm arose, they should have come to him immediately. But when the storm arose, they relied on themselves and not on the Lord. What they needed was to humble themselves and come and ask his help.
Number three, we're to rest in the truth that he has the power to save. The disciples learned that day that Jesus Christ has the power to save. Don't you care that we're about to die? What he needed them to learn is he's the one who has the power to save and give life. There is no trouble for which he cannot rescue us. There is no temptation from which he cannot provide a way of escape. There is no trial for which he cannot give you the wisdom that you need. He is able to bring peace to the storm. And what we need to do is rest in the midst of the storm. The psalm says that our Lord gives his beloved sleep. There's a peace that passes all understanding as we keep our hearts and minds upon him. When we worry, when we fret, when we seek things in our own strength and our own wisdom, there's no peace. But there's a peace to those who trust and pray and come to the Lord. We need to rest that he has the power to save. Finally, you and I need to relinquish our pride. The disciples learned that they lacked faith, and their lack of faith was the result of their own pride. They were only saved when they relinquished that pride and came to him. Now, their faith wasn't great when they came, but they came. They awoke him. They sought his help. What you and I need to do is relinquish that pride. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to come again before the Lord, that he might exalt us in due time. We need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not lean to our understanding. Faith and humility are intrinsically linked. Without humility, we'll never walk by faith. We must learn to walk humbly in this present world that we might be able to walk by faith. Even when we find things that we just can't seem to understand, we can't see it, we can't control it, and everything around us is just uncertain, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It's not yours and mine to understand. Understanding belongs to the Lord. By the way, he doesn't have to tell you why he's done what he's done. What you and I need to do is learn the lessons that he longs to teach us. He may reveal to us the reason for it in days to come. He may not. That's his choice. It's not for you and I to understand. It's for you and I to trust our Lord with all of our heart, not to lean to our understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. And the Bible says, I'll direct your path. I'll lead you. I'll guide you all the way. The just are to live by faith. In order to walk by faith, the faith that is pleasing to God, you and I must humble ourselves. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. To the humble, he'll lead. To the humble, he'll meet their every need. He'll give his grace. Beloved, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and walk by faith, that we might be a people pleasing to our God, that we might be a people that would be channels of blessing to those all around us, that they might see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and know the effects of us as the salt of the earth. May Jesus Christ be praised as we walk by faith, humbly before our God and others. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for the lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to teach us. Lord, I thank you that at times he teaches us through means of his word, through means of teaching and sermons. I thank you that he also teaches us at times through object lessons of life. Father, I pray that we would be a people ready to receive such instruction from our Lord, that we would understand the value, the importance of our faith. And Lord, that we would understand how faith and humility are linked together, that we might be a people to the praise, the honor, and glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we as your people would therefore then be channels of blessings to those around us, that, Lord, they might see and know the wonderful God of whom we serve. For those who are lost, may it be a testimony that they would come to Christ. For those who are struggling, may we exhort them, encourage them, and help them in their own journey spiritually. We'll thank you, Father, and praise you for what you can accomplish this day through thy word. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tim's going to come and lead us in a closing hymn this morning.